You probably know the story, how he didn't believe, he was struck dumb until the day of the birth. He came out, people realized he'd seen a vision, but he couldn't tell them about it. His wife Elizabeth conceived the child, and she kept quiet about it for 5 months. So that's the background, and we're going back to Zacharias in a bit. But then Gabriel had another mission, some 5 or 6 months later. We know God isn't bound by time, but here's an example where his timing is clearly according to a particular plan, and now it's time for the next stage. Not in Jerusalem this time, some 90 miles further north, up in Galilee, bit of a backwater Galilee, nothing like as important as Jerusalem. Bit of a dubious reputation, really, something of a melting pot, called Galilee of the Nations, because everybody came there. And in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel was sent to Mary. Now, I think the day that she was having was quite different from Zacharias's day. His was a once-in-a-lifetime day. Hers was probably more of an ordinary one. Just doing household tasks, maybe. What might she be thinking about? Well, she'd recently been betrothed to Joseph. Now, that's a binding agreement. It's even more than our engagement, because engagements sometimes are broken, but a betrothal, you've got a written contract, it was all drawn up, it was sealed. You needed a divorce bill to dissolve it. So this was really important. Everything was settled. Maybe she was thinking about her wedding day, the new life she'd have. Maybe about children she might have, because they were considered a real blessing from God. Like other Jewish women who belonged to the tribe of Judah or had married into it, she might even have just wondered about the possibility of bearing the Messiah. The Jewish idea was that the Messiah would be in David's family, would be a kingly figure who'd lead his people to triumph over their enemies. There wasn't any idea that he'd be anything other than human or born into anything other than a normal marriage. So any Jewish girl in the right tribe of Judah might think, that's a maybe, maybe. And then Gabriel arrives. And his greeting is, to the one who's been favoured, the Lord is with you. And Mary was alarmed. Not just at the sight of the angel, but what he was saying. She simply couldn't understand why he was addressing her in that way. How could he think of her as favoured of God? Nowadays, we're encouraged to think of ourselves as special. You remember that chorus, I'm special. I can't stand it, but I know it's a lot of people's favourites. But Mary wasn't in that tradition. And so she was alarmed. What on earth could he mean? It was maybe something momentous. So the angel tells her not to be afraid. It's the usual thing the angel has to say whenever he appears, Gabriel or any other angel. He said it to Zacharias, he said it to the shepherds. And then he reassures her again that she has found favour with God. And he tells her that she'll bear a son. She must call him Jesus. The Hebrew is Joshua, the salvation of Jehovah. That's a name to bear, isn't it? He'll be great. He'll be the Son of the Most High. He'll be given the throne of his father David. His kingdom will never end. What's Mary to make of this? Is the angel talking about the Messiah? He must be. And yet, even the Jews had never supposed that the Messiah's kingdom was never going to end. This is something more. She's puzzled, really puzzled, not only by how the angel had described this Messiah, this baby, but something about him must have made her wonder, did he mean now, rather than at some point in the future in her marriage? Now let's go back to the story of Zacharias and compare Mary's reaction with Zacharias. He and his wife Elizabeth were getting on. They had no children. They'd prayed for many years for a child, and they couldn't understand why they hadn't got one, because children were considered a blessing of God for people, especially, who followed God and did his will. And Zacharias and Elizabeth were good people. Luke tells us so. He tells us they served God faithfully and blamelessly. And if God blessed faithful service by giving children, why no child for Zacharias and Elizabeth? And then at long last, the answer comes. They're not only going to have a child, but he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to be a cause of rejoicing. He's going to turn many of Israel back to God. Wonderful news. And how did Zacharias respond? Well, he wasn't convinced. He wanted a sign. Had he got weary of expecting God to answer, given up on God, thought that it was too late to expect such a blessing now? If that's the case, I think it's possible for us to sympathise with him. It's easy to lose faith that God will bless and answer prayer if it just simply doesn't happen. Even Proverbs admits that. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Maybe you've experienced something like that yourself. Prayed for something for a long time, feeling weary, feeling heart sick. But if God has promised and created a longing for it, should we feel like that? It's natural. Even Abraham lost heart. Remember how he was promised that Sarah would bear a child, and the wonderful things that was going to come about as a result of this child being born, and Abraham gradually lost heart and tried to force God's hand in a way. So if these people lose heart, I'm sure we can appreciate why we may lose heart ourselves sometimes, or feel sympathy for those who do. And yet imagine the joy and the delight and the excitement when the answer finally comes. That phrase in Proverbs that talks about a longing deferred making the heart sick talks about a longing fulfilled being a tree of life. So wouldn't it be wonderful for Zacharias to have this tree of life of joy springing up in him? Except that wasn't quite what happened. He simply couldn't believe what the angel was telling him. He felt the need for a sign. And this is what he asks. By what shall I know this? Now, if you read the story in Luke, and we've got it in the NIV in the pews here, it's very similar in the Authorised Version, which many of us prefer. And you don't get quite the full emphasis of how Zacharias responds when he says, I'm an old man. Really, I should like to get the Bible and underline that I three times in red and put it in italics, because that's how the force of it comes over in the original. Zacharias is concentrating on himself. I'm an old man. Look at me. How can I possibly receive this blessing? How can my wife Elizabeth, who's old, look at me? He wasn't a faithless man. We know he was a decent man, an upright man. We know that he followed all the rules and regulations. But just on this one momentous occasion, he put the emphasis in the wrong place. Look at me, he says. And then Gabriel thunders back, and I underlined again, am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. You should have believed me. Sometimes God needs to really emphasize his greatness, his glory, to make us sit up and take notice. Well, Zacharias is given his sign. He's struck dumb until the child is born. And again, Zacharias is one that we can feel sympathy with, isn't he? A good man, shocked by an answer that finally came. And on his big day too. He wasn't expecting anything like this. He was concentrating on the task at hand. The one day that he could go into the temple and offer incense, and he wanted it to be perfect, I'm sure. To get everything right. To do it exactly according to the plan. It's tempting to feel like that. It's maybe even not bad to feel like that about anything that we do for the Lord. We want to get it right. We want to get it perfect. We want it all to go according to the plan. And then sometimes God interrupts. And all of Zacharias' plans for the offering of incense went awry. There was the angel in the temple standing by the table of incense with this shocking news. And then he's struck dumb. No wonder when he heard the message that he wanted a sign. I remember a long time ago being told that it was always wise when one felt a leading from the Lord to test it. Various tests. Was this leading according to Scripture? Did it tie in with the Bible? Is this leading morally right? Then, is it according to common sense? Now, you've got to be careful with that, because sometimes God asks difficult things. But if common sense must fly out of the window, one must wonder. And finally, another test was to ask for confirmation from some other source. Test the vision, be sure, be very sure that God's leading, what we feel is God's leading, is his leading. So you can't help but feel some sympathy for Zacharias. He was doing all the right things. He'd done all the right things for years. And just on this one occasion, he concentrated on the wrong thing. He concentrated on himself instead of on the angel's message. Now, Mary's response was different. She was puzzled. Of course she was. She'd known about miraculous births. She must have heard the stories of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Samson's mother. But they were all married women, all suffering from barrenness, and in some cases, age as well. That wasn't her situation. And did Gabriel mean she was to have this son now? Yes, he did. And he explains to her how it's going to happen. He says the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Love that word, overshadow. Think back into the Old Testament, back into the wilderness, when the children of Israel had just a tabernacle, just a tent, instead of the temple that they had later. And we're told that a cloud covered this tent of tabernacle, this tent of meeting in the desert. This cloud overshadowed it, and the glory of the Lord filled the actual tabernacle. Now, isn't that a lovely way to describe how this baby came about? Mary was overshadowed, and the glory of the Lord filled her. And Gabriel also told her about Elizabeth, explained that nothing is impossible with God. And Mary's response is not, I can't do it, but I'm the handmaid of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word. She just quietly accepted a much more momentous message in its way than the one that was given to Zacharias. And her emphasis was on the will of God. And having heard about Elizabeth, as quickly as possible, she went off to visit her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and immediately recognised that Mary was carrying the Messiah. And then you get that wonderful song just a bit further on in Luke that we call the Magnificat, where Mary is praising God for everything that he's done. All the blessings that he's given to her and to his people. Could also be prophecy. And it's so certain that what God has said he will do, he will do, that she's able to speak in a past tense as though it had already been accomplished. And Mary and Elizabeth must have had a wonderful time together. Complete agreement about the amazing things that God was doing for them. For about 3 months it went on like this. A sort of honeymoon experience in one sense, a mountaintop experience. You know all the phrases we can use to describe it. And Mary experienced the blessings that followed on her acceptance of God's plan for her. And she could look back on that later and draw strength from it during the testing times that were to come. We've all had similar experiences of being very aware of God's presence, of being in his will. Hold on to that, because there will be different times, difficult times to follow. Can't stop there forever. Mary had about 3 months of it. And then just before or just after John the Baptist was born, we can't tell which, she came home. Now, would it be at about this time that her situation became known? When she got home, did her mother, perhaps, be the first to suspect? Did she tackle Mary about it? And what on earth would her reaction have been to Mary's explanation? And it was very obvious that Joseph was going to have to be told. Now, how was he going to react? Would he want to make Mary's disgrace public? Perfectly entitled to do so, indeed expected to do so. It was certainly going to have to divorce her. That was the only way to cancel the betrothal. I wonder who had the task of telling Joseph. But Joseph was a just man, a righteous man, a good man, a kind man. And he mulled it over. He must have been shocked, he must have been disappointed. But he decided that he wanted to do things quietly, to spare Mary as much as possible, to divorce her as quietly and discreetly as he possibly could. And it was only after he'd reached this point that God intervened. Joseph had gone as far as he could. He'd done his part. He'd been willing to be as kind as possible in this situation. We must be willing to do our part in situations before we can expect God to intervene. And intervene he did, this time by a dream. And in the dream he was reassured that this pregnancy was God's work, that he shouldn't be afraid to marry her, that he should become the legal father of her child, because Joseph was of the house of David. And so Joseph determined to do as he was told in this dream. And I don't imagine the next few months were easy for either of them. Mary was protected legally by the marriage. She wouldn't be protected from the gossip. And what was said about Joseph? Was he respected for his action? Was he pitied for being in that position? Was he considered too soft, something of a fool perhaps? Accepting God's will is one thing. Working it through can be much more difficult. Joseph has a slightly secondary place in the Christmas story, but without his willingness to obey God, what would have happened? God would still have worked his plan, but what a blessing for Mary that Joseph was willing to play his part, to overcome his own doubts, his own worries, his own disappointments, and to support her and to obey God himself. And so we've got to the point for the next stage in the story, which I'm not going to tell you. In the first place, you know it very well, and in the second place, it's unfolding again as the year rolls on and we get nearer to Christmas. Just leave you with the idea that Mary, she's an example to us. Zacharias, I think he invokes our sympathy. And Joseph, one can only have admiration for him that he was willing to play his part in the story so well. So we'll leave it there and we'll turn to the prayer box where hopefully we can learn God's will. We pray for what we want him to do, but we need to listen also to